A63. Number 4B.
Yes. So, we have wisdom. Now, if we go back to mind, the mind's ideas, then what are we going to do next? We come to the second step. What is that second step?
Purification.
Purification or purity, yes. Could I beg you, if you answer, to speak a bit loud so that the microphone gets it? So, what is that purification here? What is the attitude, the living, practical attitude? I always want to bring you right back to everyday life. See, always start these things by, it's always the best when you feel, let me imagine the problem that I have. Let me imagine a situation I run, what do you say, against it, that comes up. Always think you have some kind of a problem to solve. Or else the law of creativity is just a discussion about terms. You figure yourself, what am I going to do when something comes along and I don't know what to do? How to solve it? What's the truth about it? How shall I tackle it? That always must be, so to say, the situation. So what you say in such a situation? First that you do is that you argue with that situation, that you listen to the arguments of those situations. Yes? Not one says no. That's just what you don't do. That's just what you don't do. That's not wisdom. To argue with the problem and listen to the suggestion. And talk back to the argument. See? That's just not wisdom.
We have to listen to turn
to spirit. No, to mind.
Well, the wisdom is mind. Is mind.
Yes.
So mind isn't the wisdom, it's going to be only a spirit.
Well, that's then the second step, right? Right. So, can you see that wisdom means that you are not fooling around with ignorance, that you are not listening to ignorance, that you are not listening to anything, to no suggestion. Wisdom is to put the whole argument behind you into a corner and say, go away. But to turn to the divine mind. That's wisdom. Then, what is your second step? Purity. The second idea here is purity.
I should think it means to stick to it.
Yeah.
So purity means one thing.
Yeah. It means one thing, huh? Only one thing, nothing but the one thing. Therefore, stick to it. Only give to that one thing your attention. It's your devotion just to that one, And you make it, you make an arc, you build an arc, and pitch it, so that know that the arguments don't enter anymore, So that you only have within your consciousness that to which you have been turning to, namely mind. If that is the only, then it's that mind is spirit, And it is the purity of that consciousness. Yeah? Okay. Again, you have a situation, all kinds of argument. Your wisdom is not to listen to it, but to turn to mind. Say, I have another standpoint. I have another system of reference. I go to mind and say, mind, tell me, what do you know about it? Now you tell me your story. I have heard now the story of the five physical senses. I've heard the story of my family, and I've heard the story of the radio, and I've heard the story of the doctor, and so on. And you turn to mine and say, now mine, I like to hear your story. That's wisdom. You turn to your true basis. When you have turned to your basis, the second step is purity, which says, now stick with it. Don't let anything anymore enter. Once you have made the decision, only turn to the mind, divine mind. Once you have made that decision, stick to it. Never let any other waters enter your ark. Pitch it. How then, thou spiritual understanding, come as the next one?
Comes as reliability. We can rely on it and depend on it.
What is the it?
The soul.
Yeah, but could you say it very clear that we know to depend on it, what the it means?
Well, it's definite and...
What is definite?
The ideas of wisdom and the ideas of purity, and we're going to stick to it and we're going to rely on it, but you want to know what the it is.
Yeah, you rely on them. Mm-hmm. That's the second day. Mm-hmm. How does the third day, yes, Judy?
Well, it seems to me that it, at this point, being in its creative process, this is the activity of it, of being creative. So a spiritual understanding at the point of creativity, at the point of soul, is knowing its identity now. It's not it's not a quality or the nature of the idea anymore. It's the activity of the idea knowing its own idea identity at this point. It knows that it's pure and has been separated, and the idea knows that it's creative. So it seems to me active at this point. The whole idea of the creative process now in the third degree is the activity.
You don't mean the third degree, the third point, huh?
The whole thing now is the activity of the idea in its creative nature, but it's the activity of it. But with spiritual understanding is an activity of knowing its true identity at this point, because it's separated itself and is thus pure, and because it's been wise and creative in the beginning.
Yeah, it has been wise.
It's the idea.
Well, you see, that's the point here now. When we had wisdom, we didn't talk about the it. We didn't talk about the idea. We talked about us.
We're the idea.
We are quite human when we are quite human when a problem talks to us, and has all kinds of suggestions and influences us. We are quite human. The idea man would never hear it. So can you see now that this order is of a different level than what we are considering in the days of creation? That's now what we begin to realize.
How does it get down there?
You see, wisdom. How does it get down there?
Yeah, how do we get down there all of a sudden?
How does it get down there? That's the point. Why are we down there? Don't we hear false suggestions? Don't we hear arguments, negative arguments? See, so because we as mortal or humans are in the mess, we have to find a way out. So you see, this order here, wisdom, is the way out of the human. And you know that the third degree ends up, we say, in the third degree, mortal mind disappears. So you can see that the office of the third degree is a very different one than the 7 days of creation. 7 days of creation where God said, let there be light. Here it is not God that said, let there be wisdom. But where that light is translated, where mind and the light is translated to the human plane, there where we are in the mess, and says, even if you are in a mess, there is a law of creativity at work to get you out of the mess. And therefore it says at the very first impact, says, you know that divine mind is always operating, and it operates and comes to you into that mess, and says to you, to us, let there be wisdom. What does it mean that you are wise? What is that wisdom? That we, as human beings, turn away from the problem, from the arguments of mortal mind, and turn towards the divine mind. So you can see, we suddenly find here a sequence that is on a, so to say, on a lower level than the days of creation. And yet we will find that it is the same law of creativity at work, which actually means, you see, that's the great point about Mrs. Eddy's discovery, that her truths are translatable from the highest level right down to the lowest level, and say, I operate on every level, and therefore wherever you are, I touch you, and I bring you out of the mess. So that you get here much more the human reaction to the law of creativity as shown in the 7 days of creation. And in the 7 days of creation, see, it is always God declaring himself. Here it is now asking that we respond to that high law of creation. And we respond by saying, let wisdom come in. And this wisdom means that we, as human beings, with our human thinking, say, now, am I going to go on listening to mortal mind? Or am I shutting up that? And am I going to turn to the divine mind? See, I do something. So this third degree is actually, as you know, the third degree, meaning after the first and second degree, after depravity and the transitional qualities of depravity disappearing, coming out, showing how the light shines into darkness and slowly darkness disappears. So that at the point of the purity, you said very nicely, at the second point, you stick to your turning to mind, and you hold it apart from mortal mind. You hold it apart. You keep it pure. We keep it pure. So it's a demand for purity within us. It's not God's spirit that is pure. God's spirit is the only finished. From the human point of view, we have to hold on to that what mind knows about the case. And if you hold on to that, that's a sense of purification that takes place. And therefore, when we come to the third of spiritual understanding, we must see that that is on the same level as we go on. It must be, so to say, a result of wisdom and purity. Yes. So what is really here spiritual understanding? And it's very interesting to see what spiritual understanding means here. Yes? Have a try.
You want an answer?
Yes,
I'll try. I'll okay, when we have the wisdom to turn to mind and away from the
yeah.
And then then spirit enables us to hang on only to the spiritual and give up the unreality. And soul then gives us the death.
You don't really give up, you see.
Well, you turn away from it.
Yeah, because that giving up will be
the unreality.
Yeah.
At that point, it's true. Then soul gives us the definite and the certain and the unchangeable understanding of that pure idea of mind.
You say soul gives us that.
Well, soul makes us understand the yes, in a definite and certain way,
yeah.
An unchangeable way.
Mm-hmm.
That spirit is the only
mm-hmm.
substance and reality of that mind's idea.
Yeah. How was it in the days of creation? How did the dry land appear? With?
We allowed it to appear.
We allowed it to appear.
It has to become subjective now.
So you see, it isn't soul that gives you spirit understanding. It's our consciousness of wisdom and purity that begins to crystallize as our definite understanding. Therefore, we cannot get spiritual understanding as if we could, well, just reap it from a tree, you see, and say, here is a tree with lots of spirit, I get it right there. It's a fruit that grows within us.
And so that understanding is the outcome.
Yeah. So, you see, therefore, if somebody asks, well, can I get spiritual understanding? The textbook speaks of spiritual understanding, you must have spiritual understanding, it must not be material understanding, must not be the testing of the physical senses, and so somebody who is, if he is intelligent, he says, where do I get it? Can I just reap it somewhere from a tree called soul? And that tree called soul has some fruits, one of them is spiritual understanding, and just reap it there. I go and get... See, it says, no, it grows out of yourself. Namely, it grows out of your attitude of wisdom and purity. It grows in you as definite understanding. See? That's creativity. The other would not be creativity if I take the first step from the tree of mind and the second step as a separate fruit of the tree of spirit and spiritual understanding, I take it from the tree of life and just reap it. Yeah? It must, one flows out of the other, one flows into the other. It's like this, you see, it's not taking it like that. That you can take when you once have understood Christian Science, then you can go to absolute Christian Science, then you can have it right from the horse's mouth. But in Christian Science, it's a creative process. And that creative process reflects itself here in this order, which has a definite place value. See, this order does not appear just at any place in the textbook. It appears at the third degree, after the first degree of depravity, then the second degree, what is the title of the second degree? Evil beliefs, disappearing, can you hear the tone? And when the evil beliefs disappear, what comes out of it, what is then left when they disappear? It's the third degree. And in the third degree, mortal mind disappears, a man in the image and likeness of God appears. So you have typically the appearing and the disappearing sense, which is not possible when you reason in Christian Science from the absolute standpoint or from the divine standpoint. It's only then when we reason in on the level of Christian Science. There is where we have our assignment. So, it's seeing, you see, that spiritual understanding is a fruit that we reap from wisdom and purity. Therefore, the more we always turn to mind, have the wisdom to turn to mind, and the more we do that in every case, and don't let opportunities pass by not to do that. And the more we do that and have a sense of purity, that we say, and I'm not going to let anything else interfere with it, and I'm not going to let anything be mixed up with it. I don't, mingle it. I stick to it. I keep it apart. I put it into an ark. I don't let it be touched anymore by any suggestion. I pitch the ark so that nothing can enter. This is an inward quality. And as one uses that purity within oneself over and over and over through wisdom and purity, more and more something begins to happen. What begins to happen that within one's conscience something becomes definite. You begin to know definitely. And that's spiritual understanding. Knowing definitely. Being aware definitely. It grows on you clear and clear and clear. The dry land appears within you. And so spiritual understanding grows out of the first and second step. Yes? I feel these are most important questions, because every Christian Scientist will ask, well, what is needed is spiritual understanding. Where do I get it? Do I get it by reading? But they say, oh yes, I think I get it by reading. If I read it, I know it. So they read and read and read their head off. And they read for 10 years and 20 years and 30 years and 50 years and read their head off. And they still don't have spiritual understanding. All what they get is that they can practically cite the whole textbook by heart. That's not spiritual understanding. But if we see order, then we see spiritual understanding is not point one and not point two. It's the third stage. Just as Mrs. Eddy says in the third day of creation is an important one. It lets in the light of spiritual understanding. It lets in the light of spiritual understanding. It's that point, something within us is purified and purified and purified so much that the ideas of mind, the wisdom of mind, the ideas of mind become so definite within us that we say, now I know what I know. Now this is understanding. This is spiritual understanding. It's spiritual evidence perhaps also. Something testifies within us to the spiritual then, because through purity it can no more testify to the opposite. Whatever you think, for me it's beautiful. For me it's very beautiful. To know how to get something. To know the method how to get something. And just saying you should get it. I don't know how to get it. If we have that inner evidence within us, that spiritual understanding, that definiteness of what we know is true, what does that trigger off? You know, every new state is sort of in a creative order, is a triggering off of something new. Is that the right expression, to trigger off? Just comes a point where a state of consciousness just shoots off, something new. And what does it shoot off? What does it trigger off when we have spiritual understanding?
Power.
Spiritual power. Spiritual power is an expression really which means not only that there is a power which is spiritual. Spiritual power is a rendering that means the power of demonstration. The power of proving. That's spiritual power. It's the power that proves itself. It's the power of demonstration. Isn't that natural? Have you ever seen that in any science we can prove anything before understanding it? No science you can do that. Before we can prove anything in any science, we first have to understand it. That's so logical. It's so logical that we don't think of it. And that's the trouble. See, this law of creativity is such a natural order, which mankind has always used, without knowing that there is an order. And because they didn't know that is an order, they didn't live according to that order. But everybody has always known that we cannot prove anything in any science without understanding it. So understanding must precede proof. Or even closer, it means the moment you understand something, you prove it. And so here you have, after spiritual power, we have, after spiritual understanding, spiritual power. The power of proving this understanding. If we prove spiritual understanding and not material understanding, if you are going to prove that in our lives, what does it trigger off? Or what does it demand? Huh? What does it demand? It demands laying down. Why? Why does it demand laying down the mortal? If you have before that, you have now the power of proof. Why is that now necessary? You have to obey the principle, huh? Yes. You see what would happen? That you would try to prove that power in the material and the human, and for the material and for the human. It is exactly that crucial point where the Christian scientist tries to use spiritual power to demonstrate material existence, instead of proving that he can lay down the mortal, and that it only gives a true proof of God if we don't try to prove it in the human. Can you see the beauty of this? How if we understand and follow it, that one step after the other, they are like danger signs. And say after spirit the power, here comes up the danger sign. Don't try to prove that in the mortal and in the material. Your proof must be that you prove that you can lay down the mortal and that you want to prove it for the spiritual, not for the material. Every step is, so to say, a danger sign. It says, here is the crossroad. Here you can go wrong.